Hello, and welcome back to Illumination, the Disney Lorcana podcast. My name is Max.
And I'm Sam.
And we are here yet again with you, fine listeners, to discuss some Lorcana. This is a little bit more of a foundational style episode for episode 17. Thanks for tuning in. And if you've been tuning in, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here and hope that you keep coming back if you're new. Same thing, no notes. This week, we are here to talk about ways that people tend to play the game, or quote, methodologies that you can use to improve your game. And before we dive too far into it, I just want to preface everything, and I will mention it again to bookend the episode, because that's just good writing, that you should play the way you get enjoyment from the game. None of what we're about to go over is more correct than another way. It's all about what you prefer, and we don't want you to think the way you do it is necessarily the wrong way. And you may do it one of these ways, you may do it a little differently. There's no right or wrong way. Having played different trading card games for quite a long time, I've found that there's generally about three buckets that people tend to go into when we're talking about ways they approach the metagame, deck building, and deck choices. So that's really what we want to highlight in this episode. Sam, do you want to walk us through the big three categories of deck choices?
Sure. We got our generalist, our specialists, and our hybrid players.
Yes, there are three buckets there, a generalist, a specialist, and kind of the mix with your hybrid style player. Most people, if I had to take a stab in the dark, are going to fall into that hybrid category. I think a good testing team would encompass many of those things. And I think that most people tend to be one of these styles. So let's start off with a generalist. What is a generalist? This tends to be a player who builds many decks or plays many styles of decks, especially the quote-unquote most powerful meta deck choices in the format, irrespective of what they play. So some archetypes we see a lot, Sam, what do you got in the mix for usually some of the best decks in Lorcana?
We got Ruby Amethyst, Steel Song.
Popsicle, yeah. Of your choice.
Yeah.
These are all disparate, right? You just named a kind of controlling tempo style deck with the Ruby Amethyst style deck. You named a very large swath of possible ways to build a Steel Song deck. And you also named controlling style decks with the Popsicle style of decks. Hyper Aggro, who you're starting to see a lot of. The green purple tempo decks, things like that tend to flare up. But they're all different styles. A generalist will play whatever one is, quote, the best or one of the best choices, right? You'll see this a lot in tier lists where it comes to S tier, or back in my day, we called it tier one, two, whatever your ranking system of choice is.
So would you say that the generalist is typically playing like whoever won the latest big tournament?
Maybe not playing it, but definitely building it to play against it. They're the person when you're play testing comes with a pile of decks built and are like, I'll play any of these you want me to play with, which is an amazing person to have on your testing team. The generalist is going to be the person who will run you as one of the other two categories through the most testing. They're going to bring a lot of decks. Everybody will bring a couple decks usually that they're excited to try. The generalist will come with a pile of these different decks. They are definitely interested in that. They don't care about the play pattern. They don't care about the color combination. They just care about the strongest decks in the metagame. So they're going to have that big giant pile that they're hoarding around with them. And I think that they'll have the widest knowledge pool. And by that, I mean, they will know the most about all of the decks. They'll know how to operate every deck. So the cons there is while they have a wide knowledge base, they will not have a deep knowledge base for any particular deck. Definitely not for about more than a month if they get it at all, just because they're so focused across the board. And Sam, we've seen this, and I'm sure you've seen this out there, listeners, if you've gone on your set championship for Ursula's Return. I've seen people show up every single set champs, they were bringing a different deck with them. They were just like, okay, this one overperformed, or this one put up the best results the week before based on all of my research. And they'll do the research. They'll get your data. They do all kinds of great things if you have a generalist on your testing team, or you are a generalist, bless your heart, because you do a lot of heavy lifting for any team. So hats are off to you. They're also, one of the big benefits to being a generalist is they typically are not surprised by any deck, because they just know, oh yeah, that placed eighth in this 5K that was 3.5 weeks ago and is slowly really ticked up in popularity over the past couple big tournaments. That's what a generalist will pull out of their brain. And this is an insanely important thing. You're going to see generalists, if you're familiar with content creators in the space like ourselves, Zan Syed is one of the big generalists and pushes a lot of people to become generalists. Because one of the big benefits to being a generalist, Sam, is if you know how a deck works, even if you're not playing it,
you can play against it.
Inherently, when they're struggling,
what to expect?
What's a strong, like, oh, that's their best line. That's their best opening move. I'm in trouble. Or, oh, that means they got that opening line. That means they got nothing. That is the power of a generalist. So it's really important to know that and to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And they have such a vast 10,000 foot view of the Lorcana meta, have their hands and their eyes on everything. So what do they not do so well? They are prone to making play mistakes because they don't have a deep knowledge and they often don't have the finest interactions and the most subtle interplay in their deck. You'll see somebody often missequence a turn on occasion who tend to be generalists. They've taken their 10,000 hours and divided it across 1,000 decks,
right,
versus taking their 10,000 hours and putting it into one deck. So that is definitely something that works against being a generalist. And having been a generalist, I think at the beginning of Lorcana, and every set I tend to try something new and push my boundaries, I can definitely see that. And I definitely know when the first dozen, two dozen, five dozen times in with a new deck, I'm still seeing places I can improve. The hallmark of a good player is seeing where they could play better. Our next category, which is a specialist. A specialist is pretty much the exact opposite of a generalist. So if a generalist has a wide view and understands everything, a specialist has an insanely deep view, but a very limited width of field, right? Like they have a huge depth of field, but a very narrow width because they're absolute masters at one color combination or two colors. That is what they do. We've seen this a lot over time with players, especially with the color combination of Ruby Amethyst. No, I'm not Kendall Burnett, very, very specific specialist in the Ruby Amethyst archetype. And the reason I think we see that archetype yield specialist, Lorcana Bro is the same for Amber Steel Song. These are two of the oldest archetypes in the game. They've been around since the first chapter meta, and they continue to evolve and continue to put up results. And I think that these color combinations have a lot to offer in the game, and they have a lot of really powerful card choices. And we see these people who become master craftsmen of this one archetype. Type in one color pair where it's like, oh no, it's really important you understand that I switched out this random two drop for this random two drop because you need the inkable. Now that Prince Naveen's around, you need to be able to go like 2-3-4, and that needs to be a good line if you don't have your 1-3 shift line. Like they understand all of these inherent things. Kendall Burnett, very good at calling out cards that might fly under your radar as just a generalist to put into your Ruby Amethyst decks and really increase the power levels within, because that's something that somebody may just bypass that card. It's a common that I didn't read because it's kind of a draft card. Where No, I'm Not is digging deep into it and going, you know what? If you look, there's this a very fine interaction here with these two other cards that are already in the deck. So putting this card in actually is crazy. Those are the things you start to pick up as a specialist. They see things that generalists don't. Generalists are looking for the most powerful cards typically, right? Because they're looking at every card in Lorcana that comes out in every set, where these specialists are like, well, I'm just focusing on two colors of six. Mm-hmm. So they have a much narrower field of view and they become master pilots of their deck. There are not going to be play mistakes made. They're going to know those very deep interactions. If I top deck this, I can then do this, and that'll result in putting me in, not necessarily in the lead, but it'll put me closer to parity. They know that. And I have two of those in my deck total. I haven't seen any. I haven't inked it. They're just master pilots of their deck. One of the cons, though, to that is they don't have a lot of knowledge of the other meta decks. They're aware of them and they kind of know the deal. Oh, it's control deck. Oh, it's a combo deck. Oh, it's an aggro deck. But the way they understand their deck, they don't understand other decks right as well, because they've put all of their focus into their deck. They also are restricting the card pool they're looking at. So they often at times will be limited on cards that can answer certain meta staples. So it's like, oh, this archetype got really popular. I think we've seen it. Lucky Dime, when we're speaking about Ruby Amethyst specifically, yeah, is a nightmare card for Ruby Amethyst historically, because you don't have any item interaction. None. The two colors do not interact with items. A little bit more now, but the cards are kind of fringe. But not even cards that interact specifically, but how do we undo this strategy, maybe get under them before they can do it? Seen this a lot last set in the Ursula's Return meta, where Ruby Amethyst played against Blue Steel. Blue Steel had to bring in Argus to counter the Flynn Rider frenemy into Sisu and Bolden Warrior into Queen's Castle line, which wrecked Blue Steel. And it was really hard for them to do anything against it. It was so lightning quick. So they didn't bring in a card to counter Lucky Dime. They just went, these cards will just win the game first. How about that? That's a good card to counter it, right? I'll just win. Great concept. This is what deck specialists are really, really good at. And that's why they're very, very powerful to have on a testing team, because they're going to be sitting over there in a corner stacked up with these cards of these two colors only, and they're going to understand these fine little interactions that come up, and they go, oh, well, actually, and push up their glasses and tell you that there's a card that was a common from three sets ago that also gave a card exert in addition to this other thing, but now that's playable, because then they go into this long rambling scenario about how that interacts with this, and that Charlie Day meme of him connecting all of the crazy yarn together and looking insane. That's what the specialist is over in the corner doing, trying to explain to you how they can get the cards of these two colors to work together. Really, really neat and really fun. And they just have such this strong intuition and knowledge of these colors. It makes them a real weapon on a testing team. You can see why they work hand in hand with the generalist, right? Because now the generalist is going to sit there with a pile and play them with the best decks in the meta, and that's going to teach them how to respond to those decks right in kind. And then the specialist is going to say, I think I could pilot this deck really well. I don't know if you, generalist, will have the best shot with it, because it's not inherently the most powerful. I think this is the most powerful version of this deck, and I think if you put in more time, you can get very good with it. But I think where you're at right now, you might just want to pick this deck that's just a more meta, strong, out-of-the-gate meta choice. Specialists, like I said, no, I'm not. Great call out for a specialist there. Lorcana Bro, a big believer in the Amber Steel Song deck. We see a lot of specialists who put out content, and generally we tend to gravitate towards the specialists that put out decks that do the thing we like. And that kind of leads us into the third, and I think probably the most common play style. I think Sam and I both fall into this category more than the other two, and that's the hybrid of the two. And this is kind of like if you mushed them both together. So the hybrid player tends to prefer a play style or a series of play patterns over a specific color combination, but they also like one play style and tend to gravitate towards that. I think a really good call out for a content creator who's very good at this is Artabax. Artabax loves the purple surrounded decks, the ones that tend to be more tempo oriented. They're capable of controlling the board just long enough to give them an edge in the lore lead and then take over the game, or just keep their foot on the gas and just win the game like an aggro deck. It's what the tempo deck does, right? Tempo means playing to the board or playing to in play for Lorcana, versus in the hand, which is more the hallmark of a control deck trying to gain card advantage, versus tempo deck trying to really push down board advantage, both through putting highly statted characters into play ahead of time, like Madam Mim-Fox being the hallmark card in Lorcana for a tempo card, versus Friends on the Other Side, which grants them card advantage and they can turn that into board advantage. So they're not putting down things like Daisy Duck. They're worried about putting down Madam Mims to deal with the Daisy Duck and then quest with their Cursed Merfolk. Knock you down in cards while they go up cards and keep that advantage, right? They have the steady stream of cards going from the hand to the board and trying to limit your ability to do both. And Artabax really, I think, highlights that. I've seen him play Ruby Amethyst. I've seen him play, obviously, really broke out on the scene during Into the Inklands with Emerald Amethyst. That was really his hallmark and premier child, if you will, in the game. And I think he did a great job of championing it. And we still see people playing that color combination now, two sets later. It's one of the big color combinations. Brennan DeCandio is a good call. Plays Mufasa, plays Steel Song, like generally plays something in that range, tends to be like in the amber range, like wants to be proactive and typically a little bit more mid-rangey. I think that is a really good example, but the hybrid player is willing to play anything that fits into that style. Doesn't matter what the color combination is per se, so long as it fits in that style. Is it a mid-range deck? I'll try it. Is it a tempo deck? I'll try it. Is it an aggro deck? I'll try it. It's just the way they like to play. You can phrase it as the way I like to play is this. If you say the way I like to play is whatever the best deck is, you might be a generalist. The way I like to play is I like these two colors. Then you might be a specialist, or you might be the hybrid player if you're like, I like to play this style of deck, or I like to play this way. That's a little bit more of a hybrid style player. It's also a little bit of one of the cons, kind of, is you struggle to play outside of your comfort zone. I think we've all experienced this in Lorcana. Like, I just don't like the way this deck plays. Right. I hate the way Blue Steel plays. Yeah. Like, I'll play it, but I hate it. Like, I just hate it. Like, I could not imagine taking that to, like, six round plus tournament
right.
and having to slog through an entire day with this thing.
I don't typically like the decks that you play.
Right. I like decks that operate on typically lower resources and often decks that will put opponents in a position where they are working off of limited resources. But if your deck is designed to draw a bunch of cards or like we're both drawing a bunch of cards, that's when I struggle. Because I'm like, there's so many choices and I get analysis
paralysis.
And that's
what I like. I like the having a bunch of cards in my hand,
yes.
playing to the board.
Yep.
Bouncing.
Yeah, you like the tempo style decks. You really want the big hand with a lot of options and you want to always have the upper hand on your opponent. On the board. And that is the comfort zone a lot of people play in. I only like this kind of deck. I only like that kind of deck. And it can extend all the way into things like, I only like playing decks I make. And if you get outside of that comfort zone, it can get a little scary. And that definitely makes sense. I think it's a really neat way to kind of set the balance between them is to do that. The pros kind of land in the middle, right? You're not going to get caught off guard very often because you know what a lot of the decks are. But you will often kind of look at a deck and go, not for me. And just move on from there, respect what it can do. You get more card choices, but again, you are a little bit more susceptible, like the generalist, to find errors in your play, less so than a pure generalist, but you will often make very small micro missequencing mistakes, things like that, just because of the nature of the fact that you will play larger swath of cards than the average specialist. So that's the three different buckets that we see, or I've seen, and Sam has seen over time as we've learned and tested, and our play group has all of these. Sam and I are in here. We have another one. We have a hardcore generalist, and we have a hardcore specialist in our play group as well. And it's really fun when we get together and kind of argue at each other about who's doing the right thing, the wrong thing, the right way, or the wrong way. Because what's fun about having everybody together is you all offer a different perspective on the game. And that's why I keep saying the strength of a team or a group of friends, whatever you want to call them, playing together are going to make you think about the game a way you haven't before. Even though this is a one-on-one game at a competitive level, the benefit of having people behind you and knowing that you have a support staff, you have a group of people who have all put their conscious effort into making sure everybody on the team is going to a tournament with the best deck is really, really heartening. And even if nothing else, it's a great morale boost. And from an analysis perspective, you're not going to beat it. A generalist gathering you all this data, a specialist telling you why this color combination can do something you might not imagine just because it's not high on a meta deck list, and the hybrid players looking at the ways they like to play the game and bringing those decks for even further deeper enrichment is just fantastic. And again, to bookend at the beginning, at the end, like a good writer would, none of these are the right way or the wrong way. You can switch roles over time. I've been different in different trading card games I have played. I've been different at different points in my life. I can't afford to get entirely into this game. I'm going to become a specialist and just get cards that do this because then I can afford to play the game. I'm not saying you have a choice in the role you get, and I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong choice with any of it. It's literally making the best of what you can. And in order to win Lorcana, the one thing, no matter which one of these you are, you have to
keep questing.